Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're not back in our normal spot inside of Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, folks, if you've got a problem with your current bank that involves, well, let's just say artificial voices and 800 numbers and phone trees and all that kind of stuff we really don't like to deal with, if you want a personal experience with your bank and you want all your needs, give Renaissance a try. RenaissanceBank.com is the website. Go to their website and do a search and find your office nearest you. They've got 200 across the South open and ready to work with you. And if you call them, they'll actually answer the phone with a live person. You can make an appointment, go in and see them, and they'll be glad to talk through your needs with you. I know their work. I've used them and recommended clients to them and have had great experience. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Judge Gail Tucson. She is with JAMS and former judge with the Superior Court of Fulton County. Judge, welcome.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. And so give folks a little introduction to you and how you're serving the community out there.
Well, I'm happy to. It seems like I've been serving Fulton County for some time now. I most recently took senior judge status. I had served as the chief judge of the Superior Court of Fulton County and had served as the presiding judge for the family division of that court and served generally on that bench for about 25 years and decided it was time to do something slightly different. So upon receiving the senior judge status by the governor, I was able to kind of tiptoe out of the courthouse, so to speak, and take my tools of the trade with me to launch a arbitration and mediation practice. So that's what I'm doing primarily with JAMS. I'm in the Atlanta Resolution Center right in Midtown and am enjoying the private sector and helping parties, individuals, businesses resolve their disputes through mediations or arbitrations.
So let's talk a little bit about your time on the bench, because I would love to hear kind of, I guess you've had some time now to reflect on those years. Maybe first you can tell folks that may not know what kind of cases come before the Superior Court, and then what you take away from that experience, those many years?
Well, Superior Court in Georgia is a general jurisdiction trial court. So if you have jury duty in a felony criminal case, you would come to Superior Court. If your family is going through some type of a transition, a divorce, or you are expanding your family with an adoption, you would come to Superior Court. If you are in a contract dispute, construction or otherwise, or personal injury, medical malpractice, any type of civil litigation, that could go in Superior Court. So we, Fulton County Superior Court is based in Atlanta, and by being in the state capital, our Superior Court is the busiest one in the state because of having jurisdiction over anything involving the state of Georgia. So all of your regulatory and, you know, high profile cases that may be filed by the AG's office, the governor, et cetera, those are filed all in Superior Court.
And what kind of, I mean, I'm sure you're probably glad you're not having to deal with elections anymore, right? I mean, that's an elected position, correct?
It is. So every 4 years, we are up for re-election. You can run the first time against an incumbent or for an open seat. Most judges, though, are appointed by the governor. So I was appointed several years ago by then Governor Zell Miller, but was on the ballot for six times. Mm. So every 4 years, you go through the process of getting together your committee, your campaign signs, raising funds. It's a lot of work, but it gives you an opportunity to get to know your constituents better and to remind yourself that it is a public, it's a public position. It's not my court, my courtroom. It belongs to the people, the citizens of Georgia and the citizens in particular of Fulton County.
Now, Judge, you were speaking before we came on the air. We were talking about this transition to ADR, arbitration and that the mediation work that you're doing right now. And you were talking about the advantages of being in a mediation with someone that can kind of walk through two sides to a resolution of their dispute and the advantage that you have there versus when you were in a judge in a courtroom and how the outcomes may happen there.
So one of the reasons why I'm with JAMS is because JAMS is largely populated by individuals that are retired judges. And so you don't have to be a judge to be a mediator or an arbitrator, but we certainly bring to the position all of our skills and experience and our ability to evaluate your case based on our experience. So, you know, it's one thing to say, John, I think you should do this or offer this, but if I can give you the reason why, based on cases that I have presided over that have some similarity to yours, then that gives me, I believe, a credibility and a value that I'm bringing to the resolution of your dispute. Many people think that they want to, you know, put on their armor and go into court and duke it out, but that's expensive. It's expensive emotionally, you know, your pocketbook, it costs money and it takes time. And certainly during 2020 with this pandemic and our courts having been closed for most of the year, you can imagine that those poor elected officials, you know, are doing their very best, you know, to keep things going, but things can get backlogged. And so the beauty of being able to go to a mediator, a private mediator, arbitrator, is that you can resolve your case on Zoom or WebEx. You can use a virtual platform and still have the dynamics of presenting your case and, you know, the psychology of persuasion, all of that still works on Zoom.
Yeah, I want to get into that. But I wanted to talk about your firm, because it seems like most, if not all, your firm is really devoted to alternate dispute resolution, ADR, as opposed to any other legal type work, litigation or whatever. Is that by design? Or talk about why that is.
So JAMS is a dispute resolution company, a national company. Mm-hmm. We're all over the United States. And there are various services that we can provide. So we do mostly mediation and arbitration, but we also are able to assist litigation firms that may want to get a read on the case before it's presented to, I'll just say, the real judge, the assigned judge. They do this a lot out in California and in New York, and they're doing it, you know, a good bit here. But the point is that if you have, let's just say, a motion for summary judgment, and you want to kind of know the merit of it, or you want to assess how your junior associate may be performing, you can hire us, you know, to give you that opinion. We can give you an evaluation of your case. We don't have to resolve it. We can just tell you what we think about it. Mm. We could do a kind of a run through before you pick your jury. You know, so there are all kinds of ways that we can be involved with our case managers, paralegals, all of the court professionals you would expect to support a litigation firm. We would be able, I'm sure, to help in many different ways to get your case resolved.
One other point, John, which is that
many times I had this happen a couple of weeks ago. You can work a couple of days in a mediation and the case may not actually resolve, but it may resolve on its own in another 2 or 3 weeks. The people go back, they talk to their lawyers, they talk to their family about what happened, what the other side said, what Judge Tucson said, or whomever the mediator is, and they resolve it ultimately before having to go back to court. So that's a good thing too.
Sure, of course. And like you say, I mean, people get a head of steam. They get real mad and let emotions take over in the first part of a dispute before cooler heads prevail, I guess, hopefully at some point. That can be pretty costly if that kind of attitude continues all the way through a trial relative to your approach.
It absolutely can be. And you also oftentimes need the lawyer needs someone to help the lawyer do the lawyer's job. So if you have a particularly emotional or hard-headed client who needs the reality check, going through this process often helps the advocate to be a better advocate and to get closer to get the client closer to where the client needs to be. Sometimes you can be ordered into this process, and you have to make sure that you're not ordered into it too soon, because if you haven't had a chance to let off your steam and do all of that, you will just come into this, with your arms folded, and you can be polite, but you're not ready to compromise or to hear a difference of opinion.
And a judge cannot do that. I mean, a judge cannot be that kind of advocate for cooler heads, because a judge is supposed to resolve the case, right? I mean,
The judge is supposed to be impartial, mm-hmm. which is one thing that we do at the Superior Court of Fulton County, and many courts do it, is that if, let's just say, you were the judge of a case, you might ask me as your colleague to talk to the parties. Mm. So I'm on the same bench, but the case is assigned to you. But you wouldn't be able to try to mediate, and then if it doesn't work, put your robe on and then make the decision.
Right.
Because things are shared with you during the mediation that are confidential. So I likewise wouldn't be able to go back to you and say, Judge Ray, that those were some crazy people. And, they just, so-and-so's position just was, off the wall. I can't come back and influence your opinion of the case based on my experience.
Yeah. Folks, we're here chatting with Judge Gail Tucson, and she is with JAMS ADR, which is a national a dispute resolution firm, a mediation firm. So if I'm a business owner, I've got a dispute, should I come straight to you, a firm like yours? You mentioned going to the court first, but what should I be thinking about, I guess, is the question, as I think about how to resolve my case in the best way possible.
Well, let me back it up just a little bit. So if you're a business owner and you're going to be entering into contracts with customers, employees, et cetera, you might want to consider whether or not there should be a provision in the agreement requiring any potential future dispute to actually have to go through ADR before it's filed in court. So we get a lot of cases because arbitration provisions or riders, there's language that requires that to happen first. And if the agreement isn't read carefully or if it's being disregarded, sometimes people go ahead and file anyway, but then they end up having to come back to arbitration because there's been a motion to compel arbitration and it's granted by the court if there's no issue with that provision. But to your question, you most likely would go to an attorney if you're a business and describe what the issue is. And you could, having heard this or read about it, you know, in Business Chronicle, wherever, you could say, what about arbitration? You know, could we ask the other side to mediate? And so you certainly could yourself make that suggestion as a party. If you're an individual, it would be easier, I think, for you and the other side, if you're both self-represented and there are no lawyers involved, to, you know, pick a mediation arbitration company, call up JAMS or whomever you're going to call up, and your call would be fielded and you would be assigned or given an opportunity to pick from a list of a few people. But typically, if it's a business, certainly in court, a business can't represent itself, by the way. That's against Georgia law. So you would have to have an attorney if you are a business. So that's why it probably would be the same, even if you're going to resolve it this way as opposed to litigation.
Now, you mentioned the working the cases that you work, the mediations you do on Zoom and or online, I guess, digitally. We're not endorsing Zoom, folks, but necessarily.
No, WebEx. I mean, there are lots of choices.
Yeah, there's lots of choices. So we're not shilling for Zoom here. We're just sharing lots of those choices. But I guess the question is, you seem to indicate that that's just as good as being in person in a lot of ways. Talk more about that and how that works it practically.
Well, what I'm advocating is that I think we all know now, it being almost November of 2020, that if you have a dispute, you are probably no longer have the luxury of waiting until the pandemic is over to get back on track. So when the coronavirus first, you know, was here and people were kind of predicting what to do, I would say March and April and May, there were a lot of requests for continuances of in-person mediations, arbitrations, court hearings, you know, already scheduled. Well, then summer came and now we're into fall and, you know, we've been told this will clearly go into 2021. So the argument is there's no reason to continue to wait, to continue to lose money, to continue to be stressed by whatever the dispute is. It can be resolved using a virtual platform. Is it as good in every aspect? Probably no. But credibility, you know, as long as you're here on the video screen, I mean, I can see and assess. I probably am more focused, hyper-focused on what you're doing and expressions that you have than if you were on the other side of a courtroom or a conference room. Documents can be organized and shared using a share screen kind of a function. So we have certainly, a lot of people have learned a lot and have become more proficient in using video conferencing. So the point is, it can be done. The one thing that hasn't yet been figured out exactly is, you know, how to have a jury trial. There have been a few pilots in Texas and in other places, but you can imagine if you're at home, like some people are, And we're trying to do a jury trial, and, you know, the dog's in the background and someone else is crying. And then you get up and you go to the bath, and that it's hard to sequester and protect the jury if they're not in the same space. But other than a jury trial, a straight hearing can be conducted very well using a virtual video conferencing platform.
Folks, we're here chatting with Judge Gail Tucson, and she is with JAMS, which is a mediation firm. But we want to talk a little bit about some other things going on in your life. So you've got a creative streak that's come out now that you've set your robes aside. A creative streak is apparent here. And talk a little bit about... maybe we can start with your books.
Well, I'd love to talk about my books. So I'm one of these people that's always wanted to write, did writing, you know, growing up, but always had this notion of course, being on the New York Times bestseller list. That hasn't quite happened yet. But it actually was an election, my only contested election, which occurred in 2004. And I won hands down, you know, 68-69% of the vote, but it was an experience that took a lot out of me, I think, emotionally, just in terms of the feeling of being challenged and the inability to defend all of your opinions, mm-hmm. your written decisions is what I mean. Mm-hmm. And you know, it kind of felt like the career was just kind of being tossed around by the opponent because the opponent was, you know, having fun. So that's all part of the game. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that as a result of that, I decided, okay, I've been talking about writing a book forever. I'm going to use this summer experience to cause me to make time to do a few other things. And so I went to a writer's conference, Sapelo Island, learned some basic skills from Tina McElroy Onza, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning author, who's a native of Georgia, and ended up writing my first novel, which is called Misjudged. And it, you know, the premise of it is really that a judge kind of risks all to save her son. So it's fiction. I haven't had to risk all to save my dear son, but because it is a first novel, it was written very much from the heart and from my experience as a judge. And the feeling that you, either yourself in judging others, making decisions, can make mistakes, hence misjudged, and that you certainly are misunderstood, misjudged often by the public. And so it was a great experience. Sold, you know, several books. And then that was kind of the judge's story. So she ultimately is reunited with her son that she gave up for adoption at birth. And they were reunited in the courthouse because he was on trial for a felony. So it has all kinds of twists and turns, including, arguably some ethical violations that she made in sitting on her own son's case. But anyway, so the first book is her story. So the sequel is called Riley, the Judge's Son. Mm. And this is now his opportunity to tell his side of the story and what it's like to have been just about aged out of the foster care system and reunited with this stranger, this woman who claims she's his mother. And just when he was going to be on his own as an adult. So the second book is about an African-American male growing up in the foster care system, ending up in the criminal justice system and kind of living between two worlds, in terms of opportunities.
Now you've got a new book coming out that you're collaborating on with quite a group of women. Talk a little bit about that book and when that's coming out.
Well, it is out.
Oh, good.
It has been out for a week and a half.
Okay. I'm not that far behind.
Right. You're still pretty current. Okay. And so the book is called Loving Wisdom. And it is an anthology of short stories and essays written by 11 women, a diverse group of women in terms of ethnicity, experience, age, et cetera. But it's about just lessons that we have learned living life and our desire to share the wisdom that we have garnered individually and collectively with others in a loving, non-judgmental way.
Now, I'm not sure about this book, but I know your two novels you've released. We need to make sure our listeners know this. You've released under your married name, right? Susan Washington.
A pen name, but yes, Susan Washington.
Okay.
The first two.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Yeah. So we need to make sure folks know that if they go to look for Judge Gail Tucson on Amazon, they may be disappointed, but go ahead.
I do appreciate that clarification, which kind of brings me to, I have a new website that is really me finally no longer feeling schizophrenic, not having to be like Judge Tucson and Mrs. Washington and blah, blah, blah. So I'm all one person now, which is great.
Yeah.
And that gives me an opportunity. And so I'm writing as me under my real name. Gail Tucson Washington, and will continue to do that. So it feels good to not have to kind of have two personalities.
Yeah, for sure. And I wish you would, speaking of writing, I mean, you've been active on these areas that we've been talking about, fiction, and then, sharing wisdom along with your other women colleagues, but you've been involved with a series of Changing the Guard op-ed pieces. Talk a little bit about those.
So there's just so much that I probably have to share. My husband says I'm not ever at a loss for words. but writing for op-eds or, newspapers, magazines, industry kind of publications gives you an opportunity, I think, to say much of what most judges wouldn't say from the bench. So you can imagine, my last year, I had probably 5 gang related trials. And so the courtroom was full of, the victims, the gang members, their families and loved ones, and people are charged with, horrible murders and drug offenses and kidnap. I mean, it's really just horrible. And, but you can't kind of scream out what you're really feeling like, how did you get here? And how did the community allow this to happen? And how can we help? Mm. How can we restore and rehabilitate? And I think I did write an op-ed for the Daily Report called Changing the Guard, I believe. And there is a part 2 that I'm actually currently working on and hoping to get completed before the election, because there's just so much going on in our country, in our community, in our city. And I think if anything has been established this year, which is good, it is that a lot of people from diverse backgrounds can agree that there are important changes that need to be made, that can be made if we just stop, pause, and focus on the harder things, as opposed to, just kind of churning the wheel day to day and kind of pushing to the back burner some of our social problems.
Yeah, one of the things that in reading that op-ed that you reference, I guess maybe the way I would summarize it is you talked about the difference between the headlines on a particular somebody's story or their case and what the headlines might cause people outside that, you know, in the outside world to judge about the person that's under that spotlight, and then hearing what their story is and their backstory and understanding what that backstory is and what that reveals about where they got where they are. Say more about that.
Well, I, as I recall, I was focusing on the fact that at least in Atlanta, we have prided ourselves, you know, on being the city too busy to hate, and you know, we all get along, and you know, we're the international city, and all of that is happening, but it's kind of the candy wrapper. You take it off, and then you really are looking at what's going on inside. And there are a lot of people in this city that have not had an opportunity to thrive, to prosper, to become self-sufficient. And you know, we can sit around and debate whether they you know, whether they spoiled an opportunity that they were given, they didn't take advantage of it, or whether they never really had the opportunity. And I think it's a community. We all have a responsibility as a part of this community to give what we can to at least facilitate discussions so that we can talk about better solutions. If it's a question, you know, with public education, you know, we can't just those that can take their kids out and educate your own and not worry about the rest, because the rest are going to grow up and they see what they don't have, and then they may have motivation to take what's not theirs, and you know, and then that affects those people who don't, you know. So I probably am not articulating this very well, but there's a lot underneath the surface, and I think in some of the cases that I mentioned, the gang cases, there's this one young man who was probably the least culpable, but he was charged with the same murder as the leader of the gang. And his involvement was simply that he was working on a car in the backyard of the gang leader. And the gang leader said, go get the car and, you know, go to this address and pick up who's there. Well, who he picked up was another person who had just murdered someone, but he didn't know that. So that's why I'm saying, you know, you can come into the courtroom if you're the jury and you see the defendants and you make assumptions, but you don't really, really know how they got there and why. You know what the result is, and no one wants murder to happen. But it's more than just someone got killed and someone then, you know, goes to prison for life. It's not that simple.
Folks, we're here with Judge Gail Tucson, and she, former judge for the Superior Court of Fulton County, here in Georgia, but, now, arbitrator mediator with JAMS. As we wrap up here, I mean, I want to get to your love of dance. So you didn't know I was going to ask about that, did you?
No, I didn't know.
That's part of your creative streak.
It is. So, you know, everyone has their, has a milestone birthday. So for me, it was turning 50. And most of my friends, you know, had these grand, elaborate events. So I've always wanted to dance. And so I decided for my 50th birthday, I was going to form a dance troupe. So I went out and found about 11 other similarly situated or sensibility connected women. I think everyone was over 40, but we had, you know, we had one who was, you know, in her 70s. And so it was a pretty wide range. A few were former dancers. And I guess once a dancer, you're always a dancer. But most were like me and had done something else. So I took piano lessons. So I actually got my bonus daughter who danced throughout her childhood and teenage years and her best buddy to teach us old dames how to dance. And, you know, usually when you see older women dancing, they're tap dancing and, you know, that's fine. But I really wanted to get into some hip hop and jazz and all of that. And so we actually did it, John. We practiced. We had a performance on a stage for my birthday. It was fabulous. And then we have actually been dancing together now for over 10 years and have expanded the mission. So originally we were dancing for the joy of dancing for ourselves. And now we go like to senior centers and we established a dance camp for at-risk girls and brought them in and gave them some attention, some mentoring, told them about our careers. Because all of us, again, we're not dancers, so we're doing other things. So it's been a wonderful sisterhood.
That's pretty awesome. And you have got to tell everyone the title, the name of the dance company and how you got that name.
So the full name is Always Wanted to Dance Company, or AWT. And it is because, you know, sorry, Mom, but I always wanted to dance. So thank you for everything else you did, but I didn't get to go to dance school. So that's the name of the troupe.
And I guess the lesson of that is make sure you do that thing you've always wanted to do, right? And maybe you can.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the name of my essay in Loving Wisdom is Living Life with No Regret. Mm. And I truly mean that. I believe in life balance. I am very proud of my family. I give my all to them, to my career, to my community. I think it's all important and it makes you a happy, joyful, blessed person.
Well, Judge, this has been great. A lot of fun, and I'm really glad we were able to get you on. But before I let you go, for those that would like to be in touch or further connect with you in some way, why don't you tell them how they can do that?
Well, if we're interested in resolving a dispute, you can reach me at gtusan@jamsadr.com. Or you can always find me at my website, www.gailtoussaintwashington.com.
Great stuff. Judge Gail Toussaint, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some problems that maybe don't rise to the level of a legal dispute, but they're annoying anyway, maybe they're administrative tasks that are wearing you down, accounting for your business. Maybe you've got some marketing that needs to get done and you're tired of doing it yourself. I've got an answer that involves picking up the phone and calling the chief executive angel at Office Angels. And her name is Essie Escobedo. And Essie's number is 770-442-9246. And I use her services and she's awesome. And her angels are awesome. And I would just encourage you to call them. But if you need a little more information, go to officeangels.us, and what you'll find out is they've got the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business, and they fly in, get the job done, and fly out on an ongoing or as-needed basis. So check them out. Call Essie. Let her know I had you call her, and I know you'll be glad you did that. And as we wrap up here, I just want to remind you that we're now – over 300 shows on North Fulton Business Radio, and we've been the voice of business here for quite a while. And we've been that because we get your support, and we're grateful for that. What we would appreciate, if you have not subscribed to our show on any of the major podcast apps, please do so. Search for North Fulton Business Radio. on your favorite app and subscribe to us. And we would love it if you would give us a great review, because it's not really about us. It's about our guest, and it's about helping folks out there find our guest and utilize the services they provide. So if you could do that for us, we appreciate it. You can also connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Judge Gail Toussaint, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.